Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 15th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2. We are in verses 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have studied in 2 Corinthians and in 1 Corinthians as well the failure of a believer in Corinth who is known as the incestuous Corinthian. We've seen his failures. We've seen him get to the point of maximum divine discipline and the sin unto death. And he recovered. He was still alive, and there was hope, and he recovered. He rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, got out of the cosmic system, and never, ever went back to the sin of incest. He committed sins, but not that. He got back into fellowship with God and living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And he wanted to get back into the congregation and get face-to-face Bible teaching. But now another group of believers failed. The believers in Corinth failed. Not all of them, but some of them. And they had no virtue love brought to completion in their heart, no personal love for God the Father, no impersonal love for all. They couldn't love the incestuous Corinthian with impersonal love. They had no occupation with Christ. They could not forgive and forget. And they were in many ways worse, far worse. Self-righteous, legalistic believers. Far, far worse than the immoral, incestuous Corinthian. So we have seen their failures. Now, Paul, in the next two verses, is going to present his failures. The Apostle Paul, the greatest believer, perhaps of all time, him and maybe a tie between him and Moses, although Abraham is right up there. And now we're going to see the Apostle Paul's failures in 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. In the Word of God, there are four major failures that the Apostle Paul made. And one of those failures resulted in maximum divine discipline. He was in reversionism for over 2 years in prison. And he recovered. He was supposed to go to Rome and to Spain. He didn't do it. Instead of going to Rome and Spain, his emotions took over. And he went to Jerusalem. Oh, he's a Jew. And he wanted to go to Jerusalem with the Jewish people. Totally wrong. Totally out of the will of God, the plan of God. And he did. He went to Jerusalem. That was wrong. Then when he got there, he compromised the Word of God, compromised grace and truth. And that was it. When he compromised grace and truth of the Word of God, he was whacked. Paul was whacked. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, put into prison, imprisoned for 2 years. He did get to Rome. God took him there in prison. Took him there in a ship and put him in prison. And he made it. And then in prison in Rome, he recovered. But we're going to see the greatest believer of all, he failed too. Now, this will be a point. Everyone in here has failed. All of you. Don't try to look at me with a halo over your head that you never... Everyone in here has failed. We all fail. The point is to, as long as you're alive, recover and get up and get going. So we are going to look at the Apostle Paul's failures here. 2 Corinthians 2. Verse 12 sounds like this. Now when I got to Troas, for the purpose of proclaiming the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when a door of opportunity was opened for me by the Lord. Who opened this door? The Lord opened the door. Because it was the will of God for Paul to be in Troas. It was the will of God for Paul. There was a lot of positive volition and at God consciousness. There were a lot of people in Troas who were just waiting to hear the good news of the gospel and believe in Christ. There were believers in Troas who were positive to Bible doctrine and they wanted the teaching of grace and truth. So what does Paul do? He leaves them, forsakes them, and doesn't give the gospel to anyone, doesn't teach the word of God, and takes off to Macedonia. Now you see, when you do that after the Lord has opened the door for you, the Lord has opened the door for you, given you the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaim the grace and truth of the Word of God, and the Lord opens that door for you and then you shut the door, you have failed miserably. The word door is thura. Thura literally is a door. But figuratively, it means something made possible. Something made feasible. It means an opportunity. This is the door of opportunity for evangelism that was given to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. The door of opportunity for Bible teaching, for teaching grace and truth by the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only was this door of opportunity given, but it was opened. Anoigo means to open. This door of opportunity was opened en curio, by the Lord. The dative singular of the personal pronoun ego is the dative of indirect object. The indirect object introduces the one in whose interest or benefit something is given. This is for the interest and benefit of the Apostle Paul. The Lord opened this door for the benefit of the Apostle Paul. This is the will of God for Paul. The geographical will of God is for Paul to be in Troas at this time. The operational will of God is for Paul to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach the grace and truth of the Word of God to the positive believers there. However, Paul did not take advantage of the open door that the Lord provided for him. Paul left Troas. And when he left Troas, he got out of the will of God. Paul failed miserably through the mental attitude sin of worry, and he left Troas to try to find Titus. The perfect tense is an intensive perfect. The emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action, on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. It's the Lord. The Lord opened this door of opportunity for Paul in the past, giving Paul this fantastic opportunity for evangelism because there was positive volition, that God consciousness in Troas, and this fantastic opportunity for Bible teaching because there was positive volition among believers for the teaching of the Word of God. The passive voice is the voice of grace. Paul received this open door for evangelism and Bible teaching by the grace and the power of the Lord. The participle is circumstantial and temporal. Now, when I got to Troas for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, and when a door of opportunity was opened for me by the Lord, now we have the Apostle Paul's failure. Verse 13. Well, start out in the King James, the thundering diction of the King James. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from there. He left Troas and went to Macedonia. I had no rest in my spirit. This is the perfect active indicative of echo plus the objective negative ook, plus the accusative singular of anasis, plus the dative singular of pneuma with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego. Echo looks like this in the Greek, and it looks like this in the English. E-C-H long O. Echo. Echo is the verb that means to have and to hold. It means to possess. The objective negative ook, which we have with it, the objective, it looks like that in the Greek and in the English, slams the door. Paul had no anasis in his inner being, in his spirit. He had no, absolutely no anasis. Looks like this in the Greek, A-N-E-S-I-S. Anasis. A couple of points on this one. Anasis means rest, relaxation of mind, relief, tranquility in one's soul. Anasis means rest, relaxation of mind, relief, tranquility in one's soul. Point two, The objective negative ook with the verb echo means that the Apostle Paul had absolutely no anasis, no peace of mind, no relaxation of mind, no tranquility in his soul, no rest in his soul. The objective negative ook with the verb echo means that the Apostle Paul had absolutely no peace of mind. 3. Paul has started to worry about Titus, because Titus was supposed to meet him at Troas. Paul has started to worry about Titus because Titus was supposed to meet him at Troas. For worry is a mental attitude sin. It's a mental attitude sin. Worry, anxiety, all of that is mental attitude sin. You have to rebound worry. 5. Worry is a mental attitude sin that produces self-induced misery. Paul is under self-induced misery. No peace of mind. Worry is a mental attitude sin that produces self-induced misery. No peace of mind. 6. Paul is now out of fellowship with God. Now he's in the cosmic system, and he got there by the mental attitude sin of worry. Paul is out of fellowship with God. Now he's in the cosmic system. And how did he get there? By the mental attitude sin of worry. 7. Now, in the cosmic system, Paul gets out of the will of God and leaves Troas and heads for Macedonia. He takes off. Here the Lord opens the door for him so he can go there, because there's people that are ready to hear the gospel and believe in Christ. There are believers that are just waiting to get sound Bible teaching, grace and truth. The Lord opened the door for him, and what does he do? He takes off. So now Paul is in the gets out of the will of God and leaves Troas and head for Macedonia. 8. When you get into the cosmic system, you cancel out the function of the will of God for your life. You are out of the will of God. When you get into the cosmic system, you cancel out the function of the will of God for your life. You are out of the will of God. And then it says, to pneumati mou, in my spirit. So the corrected translation, I had no rest in my spirit, no peace of mind, because of the mental attitude sin of worry. And then he gives the reason why. What brought about this anxiety and worry, mental attitude sin? Because I found not Titus, my brother. We have the accusative singular of the personal pronoun ego, plus the articular aorist active infinitive of heirisko, and the negative me, plus the accusative of the proper noun titos. Yeah, I know you call him Titus, but in the Greek he was titos. The accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article, with the genitive singular of the pronoun ego. Heurisko. There's the H. E-U-R-I-S-K, long O. Heurisko. The perfect tense of heureisko is heureka. Every town that has mining, whether it's California, Nevada, any town that has ore, they have a city there named Eureka. And Eureka is the perfect tense of heureisko. I have found it. They found the gold. They found the silver. Well, okay. I don't know anything about Eureka, California, but I know about Eureka, Nevada. It sucks. I got kicked out of Eureka, Nevada. I got kicked out and told I could never come back. I was at a basketball game. Indian Springs was playing Eureka. I was up in the stands. And it was absolutely the worst refereeing I have ever seen in my entire life. And there were some people from Eureka sitting next to me. I said, "Do you know that referee?" They look at me, "No, we don't know him." I said, "This is the worst refereeing I have." And I am yelling, "Oh, that's horrible! What a lousy call!" Well, at halftime, a policeman came up. Policeman came up at halftime. And he said, "The principal said to tell you, if you don't shut up, you will have to leave right now. And by the way, you're never allowed to come back into Eureka." I said, "Well, who's the principal?" He says, "The referee." I said, "Well, that explains a lot." And then I looked at the people. "You don't even know your own principal?" So that might have been where I said Eureka sucks. Well, you get little tiny towns. You get in little towns, and Nevada's got a lot of little tiny towns. They don't have a lot of referees. Don't even want to go to Eureka. So who referees? The principal referees. You get a lot of good calls when. And then of course we went to one town, and the player, the ref, we. Indian Springs scored four touchdowns on four plays. Scored a touchdown, they called a penalty, brought it back, moved them back farther. Scored a touchdown the next play, they brought it back, moved them back farther. Scored a touchdown the next play, brought it back farther. Scored a touchdown on the fourth, and they brought it back, and the player for the other team says, called him the referee, Uncle George or Uncle Bill or something. That's how small towns, how it goes. So, Uncle George tried his best to. So, heurisko, one. It means to find, to discover, to come upon. Two, the articular infinitive is causal. This gives the cause or the reason for Paul's mental attitude, sin of worry. The accusative singular of the personal pronoun ego is the accusative of general reference. That is, it serves as the subject of the infinitive. The negative may, Paul did not find Titus in Troas. They were supposed to meet up in Troas, but Titus did not show up. And then we have Titos, proper noun. Well, it looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Titos. A couple things about Titus. Great name, by the way. And Titus was had the gift of pastor teacher. He was one tough pastor. And he was Paul's troubleshooter, and any time Paul needed something straightened out, he'd send Titus in there. He was the one to straighten it out. Andy Todd, who just recently went to heaven, he named his son Titus. And I just thought, that's a great name to give to your son, Titus. Tough, hard-nosed pastor. Doesn't take any thing off, guff off anybody. One, Titus was one of the Apostle Paul's top students in his traveling seminary. Titus and Timothy, the two top students in Paul's traveling seminary. He loved these guys. They both had the gift of pastor-teacher. They were great communicators of the Word of God. Two, Titus had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Three, Titus was the Apostle Paul's troubleshooter. Anytime something needed to be straightened out, Titus was the one who went in. Titus was sent to Corinth because Corinth set the world record for reversionism. And then he wound up in Crete, and Crete needed somebody tough in the island of Crete, and Titus was the one who went in and did a great job there. Four, Paul sent Titus to Corinth to see how the epistle of 1 Corinthians had been received, because Paul just clobbered them in 1 Corinthians. Again and again and again, he hit them over the head, over and over. And if you were here, it took me about 15 years to teach 1 Corinthians, but if you were here, you know he just hit them over the head and hit them over the head and hit them over the head, hit them over the head. They were in this category of reversionism, that category, another category, and he just had to be so tough. And so Paul sent Titus to Corinth to see how the epistle of 1 Corinthians had been received. Five, Paul was so tough and hard-nosed in his teaching of 1 Corinthians that he was concerned that all the believers there reacted, separated, and didn't want any more of Paul's teaching. He thought his ministry there might be kaput. It might be over. Paul was so tough and hard-nosed in his teaching of 1 Corinthians that he was concerned that the believers there reacted, separated, and they didn't want anything more of Paul's teaching. That he thought his ministry there was over. Six, Titus was sent to Corinth to find out the situation and then report back to Paul at Troas. Titus was sent to Corinth to find out the situation and then report back to Paul at Troas. Seven, but when Paul got to Troas, Titus wasn't there. And then Paul began to worry. When Paul got to Troas, Titus wasn't there, and Paul began to worry. Eight, Paul got very upset, out of fellowship with God, and failed miserably. Ton Adelphon Moo is my brother, my fellow believer, fellow member of the Apostle Paul's team. So he says, I had no rest in my spirit, no peace of mind because of the mental attitude, sin, and worry, because I did not find my brother Titus. So then what does he do? Well, because he's out of fellowship with God, he gets out of the will of God. The King James says, but taking my leave of them. Boy, that is really sad translation there. We have the conjunction Allah plus the aorist participle of apotasso plus the dative plural of autos. Allah. A-L-L-A. Correctly translated. But this is an emphatic use of the conjunction Allah. You translate it in fact, not but in fact. Paul is now emphasizing his failure, his own failure. Allah sets up a contrast. It sets up a contrast, first of all, between staying in Troas with leaving for Macedonia. It sets up a contrast between of staying in Troas, which was the will of God, and leaving for Macedonia, which was not the will of God, too. It sets up a contrast between staying in the geographical will of God. The geographical will of God is for Paul to be in Troas, with getting out of the geographical will of God and heading to Macedonia. Third, it sets up a contrast with staying in the operational will of God, which was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach Bible doctrine at Troas, with leaving Troas to search for Titus and getting out of the operational will of God. So this is the most powerful conjunction of contrast in the Greek, and it's in the emphatic use. In fact, contrasting staying in Troas with leaving for Macedonia, staying in the geographical will of God, which is Troas, with getting out of the geographical will of God, going to Macedonia, contrasting staying in the operational will of God, doing what the Lord opened the door for him to do, proclaim the gospel of Christ and teach grace and truth at Troas, with leaving Troas and searching for Titus, getting out of the operational will of God. And then the verb apotasso. A-P-O-T-A-S-S, long O. Apotasso. Now, in Kittle's Theological Dictionary, Volume 8, page 33, we learn some very important things about this verb. First of all, apotasso in classical Greek, it meant to separate from, to leave someone, to dismiss someone, to break off friendship and separate. That's the classical Greek usage. To separate from, to leave someone, to dismiss someone, to break off friendship and separate. That's the classical Greek usage. Two, in the New Testament, it means to part from, to depart, to forsake, to renounce. To part from, to depart, to forsake, to renounce. Point three, the dative plural of autos is them. Them is the believers in Troas. Them also includes all the unbelievers that positive a God consciousness that the Lord opened the door for so that Paul could give them the gospel. Them includes the believers in Troas who were positive to Bible doctrine. And he forsook them. He renounced them, departed from them, and didn't teach them grace and truth. The participle is circumstantial attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verb echo. I had no rest in my spirit. In fact, I forsook them. I departed from them. those in Troas, those unbelievers, positive of God consciousness, waiting for the gospel, those positive believers in Troas, waiting for the teaching of grace and truth. I departed from them, forsook them, separated from them, and I went from there into Macedonia. This is the aorist middle indicative of ex erchomai, plus the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative of the proper noun Macedonia. Ex erchomai. E-K-S-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Ex erchomai. Ex erchomai literally means to go out, to come out, to go away. The non-literal uses, it means to set out or to proceed. The aorist tense is an ingressive aorist. The stress is on the beginning of an action. So the best translation is, I set out. I left, I started out for Macedonia. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting the Apostle Paul's failure as a fact of history. The preposition ace plus the accusative of Macedonia means for Macedonia. So the corrected translation. I had no rest in my spirit, no peace of mind because of the mental attitude sin of worry, because I did not find my brother Titus. In fact, I forsook them. I departed from the people of Troas, both unbelievers who were ready to hear the gospel and believers who were positive, ready to hear the teaching of the Word of God. So I forsook them, departed from them, and I set out for Macedonia. This was after the Lord opened the door for him. Now, this is a failure by the Apostle Paul. There are four great failures of the Apostle Paul recorded in the Word of God. Our passage, 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13, is one of those four great failures. Now, I know you have no problem realizing the Apostle Paul is the greatest believer of all time. Here's the principle. Even the greatest of believers fail. That's the principle. Even the greatest of believers fail. That was true of Paul, that was true of Moses, that was true of Abraham, that was true of all great believers. Even the greatest of believers fail. And that's what Paul is saying here. Yes, the incestuous Corinthian failed. Yes. Yes, many of the believers in Corinth failed, had no virtue love brought to completion in their heart, no impersonal love for the incestuous Corinthian. But now Paul says, I failed too. Even the greatest of believers fail. So let's look at these four great failures of the Apostle Paul recorded in the Word of God. Failure number one of the Apostle Paul is found in Acts chapter 15. Turn over to Acts 15. Failure number one of the Apostle Paul, Acts 15. Acts 15, starting at verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers, the royal family, and all the towns where we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because Mark had deserted them earlier. He went AWOL, absent without leave, took off. He was made a bad decision. He was out of fellowship with God. He was in the cosmic system. He left the team and took off, AWOL. Because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, Barnabas and Paul. They argued and argued. Barnabas said, Mark is recovered. Yes, what he did was 100% wrong. He is recovered. He's doing great, and he needs to go along with us. And Paul says, absolutely not. I'm not taking him at all. Now, who is Paul acting like? The believers in Corinth that won't let the incestuous Corinthian back in the congregation. Paul's doing the exact same thing. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commanded by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. All right, a couple of things here. One, Mark had failed miserably in the past and deserted the Apostle Paul. He went AWOL. He had a very important part of the team and he no longer could be counted on. He took off. So he did. Mark did fail miserably. Two, however, Mark has recovered. He's rebounded, recovered. He's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And he wants to be a part of the team again. Three, Paul failed to apply impersonal love for all. Paul did not forgive and forget Mark's failure. Paul did not forgive and forget Mark's failure. No impersonal love for all. Four, so you see, Paul was guilty of the same sins that the believers in Corinth were guilty of toward the believer who committed incest and recovered. This Paul is no different than the believers in Corinth. He's guilty of the same sins that the believers in Corinth were guilty of toward the believer who committed incest but had recovered. Five, Paul had a major failure, major breakdown of virtue love. No impersonal love for Mark. No grace orientation, no forgive and forget. So this was failure number one. Failure number two of the Apostle Paul. Turn over to Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15, we'll start at verse 22. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you, but now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, this is the believers in Rome, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. Now, this is the geographical will of God for Paul to go to Rome and then from Rome on to Spain. This is God's will for Paul. I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, and here he doesn't go to Rome, and then now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. This is all emotion. All emotion. It'd be like me. I'm from the state of Washington. And I love Washington. It's a great state. It's the evergreen state. Nevada's the ever-brown state. So to go from the evergreen state to the ever-brown state was something that was different for me. In fact, when I came here on the driving over with Deb, I was praying as Father, why would you? And there was a tremendous wind blowing sand across in front of us. You couldn't see anything because of the sand. Why would you bring me to a desert? Nobody lives in the desert. I love to hunt. There's no hunting. This was before I got here. There's fantastic hunting in Nevada. I just didn't. It's a desert. There's no fishing. Father, I love hunting and fishing. And then God says, hey, idiot, you have the gift of pastor teacher. I'm taking you there to feed my sheep. Yes, sir. Well, so I'm here in Nevada, and I'm here because God wants me here to feed his sheep. That's why I'm here. Yeah, I'm from Washington. I have a lot of fragrant memories. But if I just said, to hell with all of you, I'm going to Washington. Go back up there. Well, that would be the same thing, what Paul's doing here. God wants him to go to Rome. He wants him to go to Spain. He says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem with my Jewish brethren. And he totally blows it. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. Now, turn over to Acts 21. Acts 21, verse 4. Now you realize Acts was written by Luke, so Luke is the one who's doing the speaking here. Verse 4, finding the disciples there, we stay with them 7 days. By the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. By the power of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. This was God the Holy Spirit giving the geographical will of God for Paul, which was Rome and Spain, not Jerusalem. Acts 21:4. This is the first time. This is the first time. Paul doesn't listen to him. So, God gives a second warning. This is the first warning. Acts 21:4. Paul is out of it already. He's in emotional revolt of the soul. He's operating on his emotions. He's not in the will of God. He's going to go to Jerusalem. Now, look at Acts 21, verse 10. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it and said, the Holy Spirit said, this is the second time God had to warn Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. That's not the will of God for you. My will for you is to go to Rome and Spain. So this is the second time God the Holy Spirit has told him, don't go to Jerusalem. He tied his own hands and feet with it and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Yes, he was taken and put in prison. He was in reversionism for 2 years. And he was supposed to go to Rome, so God took him to Rome as a prisoner, in a prison ship. And he went to Rome and was put in prison. But he had spent 2 years in reversionism. So Acts 21:4, Acts 21:10-12, the Apostle Paul was warned by God the Holy Spirit two times, don't go to Jerusalem. So, one, it was the will of God for Paul to go west to Rome and then on to Spain. It was the will of God for Paul to go west to Rome and then on to Spain. Romans 15:22-25. Two, Paul was warned by God the Holy Spirit two times, don't go to Jerusalem. Acts 21:4, Acts 21:10-12. Paul was warned two times by God the Holy Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem. Acts 21:4, Acts 21:10-12. Three, Paul got out of fellowship with God into emotional revolt of the soul, and he's operating by his emotions, but not by Bible doctrine. He's operating by his emotions, but not by Bible doctrine. Four, instead of being guided by the Spirit of God, he grieved the Holy Spirit and went to Jerusalem. Instead of being guided by the Spirit of God, he grieved the Holy Spirit and went to Jerusalem. Those warnings by God the Holy Spirit, he just shoved him off, grieved the Holy Spirit. He's out of fellowship. He's not filled with the Spirit. He's grieving the Spirit. Five, the Apostle Paul failed miserably and got out of the geographical will of God. He wanted to go home. But my home is where God wants me to be. God wants me to be here feeding his sheep, and this is my home. And I haven't been back to Washington for years. When the kids were small, little, and Debbie's parents were alive and my parents were alive, we would go up in the summer and spend a couple weeks up there with her parents and my parents. But her parents are in heaven, my parents are in heaven. And frankly, it's just too much time lost to go up to Washington. Lost. I am here to study and teach the Word of God, and that is what I am doing. I don't know how many more days I have here, but whatever it is, I'm going to be here every day. And study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. Not running all over the country. I'm going to make the most. I'm going to redeem the time. Not throw the time out the window. I very easily could have been done with this AAA. I could have been done it in heaven. But I came out of the anesthesia and God says, aha, you're still here. Congratulations. My will for you is to feed my sheep. Yes, sir. And so, and a Rich called me up wanted to know, is the pastor going to be there? I'm going to be here a certain time. Is the pastor going to be there? And I think Al said, well, the pastor's said to tell you that he's on vacation. Well, is he going to be there when I'm going to be there? Yes, vacation for him is teaching the Word of God. That's vacation. See, I'm on vacation right now. I don't know if you're on vacation right now, but I'm on vacation right now. And I'm on vacation every time I study and teach the Word of God. This is what God put me here to do, not to run all over everywhere. Now, failure number three hooks up with failure number two. This is where it really got bad. Failure number three follows failure number two. Acts 21, 20 to 24. And this, well, this is why he wound up in prison. This is why he had 2 years of reversionism. This just, well, it's just knocked your eyeballs out that Paul would compromise the Word of God, compromise the grace gospel. Acts 21, verse 20. See, he went to Jerusalem. So now he's in Jerusalem. This follows the failure number two, failure number three. Now he's in Jerusalem. Acts 21, 20 to 24. When they heard this, they praised God. In other words, see, Paul had just said, Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Gentiles who will be in heaven through the Apostle Paul's grace ministry. And he's reporting this at Jerusalem. When they heard about his ministry to the Gentiles, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law." They're zealous for the law. They're zealous for the traditions of the law. They have distorted the law. Distorted the law into a false gospel. Well, in fact, hold your spot here. Turn back to Acts 15 again. Acts 15, verse 1. Acts 15, verse 1, some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. These are the legalists in Jerusalem. They have distorted the Mosaic. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. They've distorted it into salvation by works. You have to be circumcised or you cannot be saved. That's what Moses taught. No, Moses didn't teach that you're saved by circumcision. He never taught that at all. This is a total distortion of the Mosaic law into system of works. So, here they're telling Paul, thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to customs. The customs and traditions of the law. Paul never taught them to turn away from Moses. They have distorted the Mosaic law And they've distorted salvation as salvation by works. That you have to be circumcised to be saved. Acts 15, verse 1. And Paul told the Gentiles, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. It's faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's what Paul taught. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Galatians 2, 16. That's what Paul taught. But now he is in emotional revolt. He's out of fellowship with God. He's with his Jewish brethren. And he really loses it here. He gets deeper and deeper into reversionism. Moses never taught them not to circumcise their children, but circumcision has nothing to do with salvation. That's what Paul taught. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you to do. Oh boy. Listen to us and legalists in Jerusalem. Do what we tell you to do. These are four men. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rite, pay their expenses so that they can have their head shaved, and then everybody... Did you take a vow too? I think there's a vow for your face if you get that. Then everybody will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. Ooh. Well, Paul flunked big time. One, Paul's great failure here is Operation Legalism. He's in emotional revolt of the soul. He's in the cosmic system. He disobeyed God. God wanted him in Rome and Spain. God warned him two times not to go to Jerusalem. He totally rejected what God had warned him. Went to Jerusalem, and he's operating on emotions. Two, Paul totally failed. He's no longer operating on grace and truth. Three, he compromised the grace and truth of the Word of God and offered a vow. He compromised the grace and truth of the Word of God and offered a vow. Four, he condoned the customs and traditions of the legalistic Jews and their distortion of the law. They distorted the law. They distorted salvation into a system of works. So you must be circumcised to be saved. They distorted the law into a works system. Satanic. And Paul is involved with it. That resulted in arrest, placed in prison. Took him 2 years before he was ever taken on a Roman ship to Rome and placed in prison there. Well, that's three of Paul's failures. And that brings us to failure number four. We'll start there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace and your truth. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.